Welcome to Thundercast, ThunderTech's podcast where we give you our take on what's new in marketing, what's cool, what's lame, and why you should care.
Hey, and welcome back to Thundercast, ThunderTech's regular podcast. As always, I'm your host, Craig Israel, and along with me, my co-host, Eric Krylo.
Hello, Craig.
So, Eric, today is a very special podcast because this is part of our series of podcasts that are related to articles in our Trends book. And, of course, Trends is our annual publication that we put out where we talk about some of the trends in marketing that are interesting to our clients and the wider marketing world. More information on how you can get your own copy of Trends at the end of the podcast. So today, we're talking about a topic that's covered in the Trends book, and you are playing double duty because not only are you co-host, but you're actually the author of the article in question.
Yeah, I had a hand at writing an article for interactive content is the topic, I think, today that we're going to discuss.
It is. So, Eric, what's that mean? What's interactive content?
So I'll give you the government version, and then I can go into a little bit more detail after that. So interactive content is an emerging trend, and it focuses on requiring participants' active engagement more than just simply reading or watching a video. Now, in return for that engagement, participants receive real-time, hyper-relevant results that hopefully they care about. The easiest, I think, sort of executions of this or things that we're the most familiar with when it comes to interactive content would be assessments. So similar to what you'd see in like a teen magazine or a Vogue, where essentially they say, you know, what type of fall color are you? Or are you the perfect ex-boyfriend? Now, I would consider myself to be, yes, the perfect ex-boyfriend. But these assessments...
Perfect ex-boyfriend.
Correct. But essentially, you know, it seeks to tell the reader something or the user something about themselves. And the other common execution for this would be calculators. So I imagine at one point or another, someone in our listening audience has tried to quit smoking. And, you know, that's always a fun thing to say, oh, if I stopped today, I'd save $100,000 and my lungs wouldn't fall apart. So it's... Again, it's just basic common executions that you guys have seen before, but there are certainly other aspects and elements to interactive content.
So assessment-wise, I first think of Facebook because my Facebook feed is littered with these, you know, what literary character are you or what character from Adventure Time is most like your personality? And that's what you're talking about, right?
Absolutely.
I go in, I answer a couple funny questions, and it comes out and it says, you are this. Please share this with all your friends. So when you talk about content that's relevant to my desires, it doesn't have to be, it sounds like a coupon or something that's really actionable. It might just be like a funny result that I can post on my social feeds.
Correct. You know, that's definitely how it's being executed now in most cases. But, you know, brands and companies are trying to climb aboard and adapt this type of content in order to gain more information, not only about their customers, but to also present information and deals in the case that you mentioned to those users for filling out that information. So it's almost like a give and a take.
Yeah, I suppose that's not surprising that we've seen a lot of these memes or whatnot on social media, and they've become very popular. So, of course, brands will find a way to monetize, you know, that approach. So, you know, content's nothing new. So why do you think brands are shifting towards this interactive content instead of content that's a little more passive?
So you're right. It's definitely not a secret that, you know, brands and companies have been trying to adapt and do more of this, not only to keep their users more engaged, but to gather information about the said user and really deliver content that is either useful to that user or moves them ahead. And I think another aspect of it, why it's becoming so popular, is because there's so many ways to execute interactive content and so many different avenues to gather this information from your customers. So let's say, for instance, you're one of the big box lumber stores and you know, they post a quiz online. Could you build it with your eyes closed? So in other words, they give you a list of materials and you choose those materials and say to yourself, okay, if I know nothing about this project, I'm choosing these materials, would that be enough for me to be able to build this something? So the results of that essentially would be Home Depot or whatever big box lumber yard you're talking about saying, well, you forgot this and this. Oh, and here's a 10% off coupon on the second thing that you forgot in order to entice you and bring you in to buy that product.
You know, I think that the information collecting aspect of this is really interesting because, you know, people in general are resistant to giving out their personal information, even if it's just something as mundane as an email address. But I wouldn't go so far as say that brands are tricking people into giving them information. But and maybe more to your point that they're giving you something, be it only a 10-second mindless fun quiz, but maybe that's enough to push you over the hump to say, like, all right, you entertain me enough that here's my email address, and if you're going to push me a coupon or some sort of other discount offer, you know, it's worth my time.
Yeah, it's similar, and you're spot on, and it's similar to the concept of a contact form. So the idea with a contact form is to limit the number of fields and choices in order to entice the user to sign up. Now, what that user gets as a result of that contact form is typically just a thank you. Thank you for submitting your form. We'll be in contact with you within 48 hours. So the user essentially submits some information and then gets some information back. But like I said before, since so much of that exists now, brands want to give more in order to get more. So it's the quid pro quo, if you will, not the sketchy type with your boss and your underling, but the give and the take as far as a user goes. So in other words, rather than just asking you about your latest experience at your local coffee shop, maybe that coffee shop asks a question, you know, what's harder to pronounce, venti or Trenta? And, you know, based on whichever of those is harder to pronounce, once they factor in the results, then everyone gets 20% off of their next order who voted in that poll or engaged in the poll. So, again, you're asking a little bit more of your audience, but you're doing it in a fun way and then hopefully giving them a little bit more as a result.
Yeah, and giving them more reason to actually interact with the brand in what feels like a very natural, organic way instead of a forced interaction. All right, so you've given some examples, generic examples. Do you have any examples from what we've actually done here at ThunderTech for our clients?
Yeah, so coincidentally enough, one of our clients, Ohio History Connection out of Columbus, has an initiative that they've been working with over the past few months. The initiative itself... The initiative itself was called the Dear Ohio Tour, and essentially what it is, and I'll keep it as high level as possible, but it's essentially an app. And what the app seeks to do is it seeks to get information directly from users about their experience living in Ohio.
So just to be clear, Ohio History Connect used to be the Ohio Historical Association. They're the repository of a lot of history and a lot of information about Ohio history, and they manage several sites, and in addition to their headquarters in Columbus.
Correct. So it's obviously trying to connect residents of Ohio and those traveling into the state, trying to connect them with the history of Ohio itself.
Yeah. So this isn't just some sort of marketing scheme to get people's information so they can market to them. They have a vested interest in collecting these stories about Ohio residents.
Correct. And they've really latched onto this concept of giving a lot in hopes to get a lot. And the way that they're doing this is through this app. And essentially what they're asking people is they're asking people to share a story about Ohio. Now, in some cases, it's, where you grew up. Tell us a story about where you grew up, or tell us about your best experience that you had that you've had as a resident of Ohio. And the cool part about this is not only does it let you choose the topic that you want to share a story about, but it also the avenue to which you can do it. So it can be a video response, simply a voice response, or you can just type out the response yourself. What I really like about this, and I think that it really speaks to the interactive nature of it, is it doesn't just give a user one option. It gives them multiple options because everyone's different. You know, some folks feel comfortable having a video taken. Other folks would choose, just to enter their information, just via most people would Okay. I like it because it gives people the option. They can record a video response if they're comfortable doing that, voice responses as well, but also just a typed response for those that may not feel as comfortable being in front of a camera or sharing their voice.
And this is something that they're collecting this information with an eye to repurposing, actually putting in a display?
Yeah, so the specific uses, they haven't quite been defined yet, but yes, it's essentially trying to gather up content, not only to put on their website and to So the purpose of this is, you know, to collect this type of content, not only to understand what people are interested in and to hopefully repurpose this in some way, whether it's at a site, whether it's at the museum itself, but also to better understand what residents in Ohio care about when it comes to the history of the state that they live in, were born in, or have decided to bring their family to move to.
So that's, man, that's fascinating to me that this simple initiative. I think it's, first of all, it's really cool that you can choose to do a video response or an audio response too, that I would expect to be able to type in like my story into a field, but to be able to do something by voice or sight, I think is pretty cool. But it's really interesting to me that they're going to not only repurpose this maybe as the Voices of Ohio or whatever, but then to take that information and I guess data mine it and look at the things that people are really interested in and then presumably come up with new attractions or displays or initiatives that speak to what people are telling them that they really care about.
Yeah, and you know, I believe that that's the way they're thinking about it as well, and you're spot on. So I think in a lot of cases when marketers, you know, seek out or participate in an initiative, they're oftentimes seeking out something specific in order to do something specific with it. Where I think here we know what the intent is, but in terms of how, you know, that information is used on the back end, there's just a variety of ways it can be. And so I think it's an important aspect of this is to wait to see the type of information that comes in and then choose how you push it out thereafter.
Yeah, props to Ohio History Connection for coming up with a really ingenious way to collect this information and in a very meaningful way.
And it's certainly, you know, something to sort of cap off this example. You know, since June alone, they've collected about 200 pieces of content already. So 200 submissions in a handful of months, yeah. I think is a pretty good start for them.
So talking about interactive content in general, right? We're seeing a lot of it right now. There's a lot of quizzes and assessments, like you said, online. So is this the new clickbait, right? Is this something that people are going to get tired of seeing? And it's what do you think? Is it going to fade away?
Yeah, I think it all comes down to execution. And I think that it'll be really important not only for brands to be creative and be innovative, but it'll be just as important for them to stay in their lane. So if let's just say for the sake of argument that a retailer like Target decided to start doing all sorts of quizzes to find out what type of are you a brown bag or are you a plastic bag? Are you more of a candy aisle person, or do you tend to lean towards the electronics aisle? I think companies like that can exist in this space and can do it well, but if they try and get too cute with it or don't stay within their own lane in order to give those users or customers useful information, I think that's when it turns into more of an annoyance than it does a convenience or a luxury.
Yeah, I mean, and that applies to brands in general. When you really start to branch out into something that's not in your wheelhouse, that is, you know, off brand, that's when it starts to seem very fake and no longer a genuine experience for your customers. So, Eric, what are your thoughts on, I'm a brand, I keep seeing this interactive content, it seems interesting to me. How do I get started? How do I even approach doing something like this?
Yeah, so, you know, depending on what type of business you're in, I think, you know, one of the best ways to sort of start it out is to, you know, essentially ask yourself, you know, what do my users want more of? Or what are my customers constantly asking me for? And depending on how you're structured, you know, you can get this information from sales folks, you can get this information from your customer service team. And in a lot of cases, you can even get it from your client services folks. So folks that are dealing with these customers on a day-to-day basis, both the good and bad experiences. So I think that's first where you start, is determining what type of content would be beneficial to your users in order to provide. And I think at that point, is when you start to craft the execution. So to my point from earlier, deciding what that assessment may look like or if a calculator would be a better suit for this, you know, specific type of topic. It really just comes down to how you want to execute that then thereafter.
So it sounds like interactive content, it's here to stay, at least for the time being, as long as we keep filling out quizzes online.
Yeah, and hopefully soon what will end up happening is more of the useful quizzes will be put in front of our faces rather than some of these more obscure ones that don't really provide us information, such as, you know, are you more of a Samantha or a Janine. Are those Sex and the City? Was it Samantha and Janine?
Zach, you're the Sex and the City fan. Nothing?
I don't think it's Janine.
I think it's, I don't know.
All right.
I didn't watch the show.
Well, it's Janine for now.
All right, that wraps up our topic for today. Again, this topic is part of the series of topics that are related to our Trends book. You can get your own copy of the Trends book by going to thundertech.com/trends, where you can download a digital edition, an ebook, or even request the physical print version that you can hold in your sweaty little hands. As always, if you have a topic or you want to hear something else on our podcast, you can go to thundertech.com, reach out to us that way. If you like what you heard today, please subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever fine podcasts are sold. And if you think about it, take a second to give us a review on iTunes. It would really help us out. All right. Thanks for listening.